two kids, summer isn't just time off. It's time spent building confidence and curiosity. But when school meals pause, millions of kids lose access to the food they count on during the school year. As a neighbor-led network, Feeding America is deeply rooted in every community, ensuring summer meals continue nourishing growth and potential. Your support puts healthy food within reach, fueling the future for kids and their families. Give now at feedingamerica.org/summerhunger.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts and Go Loud is the home of your champions. As always, this week I'm joined by my co-host, my work wife, the podge to my Rog, the trasher to my Mush. There's plenty of comparisons can be made. Hello, Ben. I heard your little snicker for the trasher and Mush line there.
Yeah, no, that popped me, I won't lie. That's pretty good. Yeah, look, really excited to be back in the swing of things. We got underway last week and people seemed excited that we are back and people remembered us, which I suppose is half the battle. And yeah, it's looking good.
We actually, we should address this now because, well, try to address it because don't really have an answer for people. Loads of people have been on saying what happened with the Irish Podcast Awards. It was a bit kind of slapdash in the end. The honest answer is I don't know. I was literally scrolling through Instagram one of the days and seeing all the winners were announced all of a sudden. So I don't really know what went on there. We didn't win, but
we won in my mind, like people's champions and all that.
Yeah, well,
if it's a good enough title for The Rock, it's a good enough title for us.
Yeah, we were the important champions. We won what needed to be won. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
So this week's more of a check in. Really, obviously, we've had pre-season stuff going on. Next week is the President's Cup. Against Drogheda. Next week we will do our predictions for what way we think the league is going to go. So it's more really just a little check-in today, just see how things are going. The fans forum, obviously it was Thursday of last week. I was there. I do have notes from it, thanks to Gav Doherty, who does it every year, just to fill people in, because I know not everyone was available to get down to Tolka, although it was a huge crowd, the biggest I've probably seen. It was by far and away, in my opinion, I've been on a lot of those fans forums. This one was the best one by a country mile. And I think what made it good was the honesty. There was just a lot of honest answers. Like if people didn't have the answer to something, they told you, look, we don't know, or I don't know, which I think goes an awful long way. People just want to be kept in the loop. And it's something that I think the club have been doing really, really well recently. So Ben, how's your week been?
It's been good. You know, the start of the year is always, start of the season is always busy. Obviously, I was just saying to you there before we got on, we had the media workshop and met with obviously a friend of the pod, Gavin White, who gave a wonderful talk, really sped through it, got us out of there in great time. And I think the main takeaway was the Virgin deal and just how big that's going to be. And it seems to be really ambitious. Obviously, TG Carr have come on today and they've announced that they're going to do more on the women's side of things. So I think, look, I know you're not really one for, it's great for the league, but it's great for us because we're the best. So we're going to be on telly loads.
I was a bit grumpy last week.
You're a bit?
Yeah, I hadn't had dinner, so I was not in the best of form. I will stand by the fact that I don't give a shite about any other club in the league.
Ah, neither do I. You can say it's great for the league, great for the profile. Yeah, yeah, whatever. But
Jesus, you sounded like the manager there.
Sorry.
Yeah, whatever. We've heard that in a couple of interviews.
Yeah, it's probably just being used to hearing it. But I think everyone's always out for their own team. Like, yes, you can turn around and say that will be great for the league, but ultimately it's how good will it be for my own team?
Yeah, look, the more exposure the Reds get, the better. I do think watching a League of Ireland game on the telly is a very, very different experience to going to a game. I think that's where the real kind of magic is with it. Like, I can't see somebody watching on a Friday and saying, in certain places, like I think, say like a Shelby Rovers game in Talla or even in Tolka, and you know, it's a dramatic game or there's a bit of drama, people might go, geez, I'd love to get down there and, you know, taste that for myself. But I think if you're sticking games on in like Drogheda, no offence, people might be looking going, geez, yeah, I'm quite happy here in my sitting room watching.
To be honest, I think that'll probably be recognised. Like, Drogheda don't have a great setup for TV anyway. So the only time, like, I would imagine, and the smart plan would be, you broadcast every team in a way that it's mainly against bigger sides or perceived bigger sides, the Dublin sides. So you're seeing everyone an equal amount, but you're not, like, you're not in whatever they're calling Drogheda Stadium now.
Well, one part of it I do like, and I think it'll definitely make watching it a lot better, it definitely encouraged me to sit down and watch a game on a Friday if the Reds aren't playing, is the idea of seeing the goals as they go in.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing. Like, it's, I know obviously the social media end of it is great, and like within seconds of a goal going in, it pops up online, but I do think having that whole experience where you can just sit for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you'll see everything all in one go. You might see a player pop up on another game or a ground pop up on another game. Like, my God, geez, that looks like a bit more me. Of course, it'll be Tolka. Anytime anyone sees Tolka, they'll want to go. But hopefully, with the good news we got from the fans forum about attendance, is in the nicest way possible for this year, hopefully there's no room for people, because I would have thought everyone would want to see the champions, no? In the flesh.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's really it. And I think based on attendance as well, it'll be a hot ticket. It'll be hard to get. And I think sometimes it's a little bit mad when you think about it, that like you're not going to Tolka to see the same 150 people you would every week.
I think this is a big thing, and it's something I think kind of have to be careful of. Like, you need new people in the door to grow, obviously, and you want the club to grow and be as successful on the pitch as it can be off. And as was reiterated many, many times at the fans forum, it's football first. It will always be football first. That will always be the priority. But I think it's important that you don't, there's a balance between wanting loads of new people in the gate, but also keeping that kind of, I don't know, what would you call it? That core of, like, it is those same 150, 200 faces you see all the time. Like, I think it's important you don't alienate people like that. And I don't think, like, there's no reason why,
but I think
somebody feel alienated.
Yeah, I think, especially in recent years, we do a great job at that. Like, as you're saying, like, people are kept in the loop. Like, a lot of things are transparent. There's a lot of fan voice in a lot of things we do now. So I think we've improved massively on that front, especially over the last 18 months.
Yeah, that we definitely have. I'll start. So at the fans forum, it was, first of all, there was this, like, I think a fireside chat, they call it, but with Duffer and, or sorry, with the manager and Rory Kirk. So there was an interesting kind of, both managers had interesting questions. One of them was about the right back situation. And I know Sean O'Kelly was on to ask who would we sign as an extra right back, because it seems to be an area people are kind of concerned or worried about. Obviously, it was pointed out that Gano will miss the first European game, etc., etc. But Ben, looking at the squad on paper as it is now, are you happy with it? Like, would you be quite happy to march into that Derry game with that squad of players, or do you think there's more needed?
No, I think that's, like, the squad you have there is massively, massively improved, I'd say, in certain elements. Like, there's a really strong squad there. I think the squad that finished the league and the squad that's going to start it this season, I think you would argue that this season's squad going in is a stronger team. Look, you can argue depth, you can argue, yeah, the right back issue. I think we talked about it when, like, last season during different periods that it could have been a problem. But here, you have full faith in the manager, his recruitment. If he feels secure, if he feels strong, I don't think anyone could ever argue. I think the cover is there. Sam Bowen, obviously coming back from injury, he can do a job there. So I'd be very happy going in to the first game of the season with that squad. I think we've recruited really, really well.
I think the panic around right back, I do see the point. I totally see where people are coming from, but we also don't know what's going on a daily basis in training. There could be somebody else there. Like, we obviously seen John O'Sullivan stepped in a couple of times last year to play as a kind of wing back. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the manager alluded to maybe a little change in shape in the pre-season. Again, I haven't managed to get to a game. I hopefully am this Saturday, so I can't really comment too much on shape or that type of thing. But yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned. Defenders in general, like, Lewis Temple has obviously come back from his loan spell. I think he's the real deal. I really do. I know it was a Leinster Senior Cup game that we watched, but I think you'll remember it, Ben, a miserable night in Talca. But among that under-20s team, and that's no disrespect to the players that were there at the time or anything, but he looked like a first-team player during that game.
Kind of like a man amongst boys. I know it's a bit harsh to say, but he stood out. He was a presence. He looked the part and he played the part. Communication skills, just everything was there. Everything that you'd look for in a first-team player, you'd imagine, was on show. So I think definitely a role to play this season, and a big one at that.
I think there was a tease of the small possibility of another body in the door. But as you say, I'm happy to go into it the way it is. There hasn't been a huge, like, we haven't lost a huge amount of players or brought in a huge amount, which I think is important. I know there's a lot of noise around other clubs, Derry being one. I just don't know if that whole going out and trying to get ready-made players in the door, I don't know. I wouldn't be totally convinced by that. But look, there was really encouraging news around Talca at the fans forum. There's a fan zone due to open in behind the new stand there. It's all been tarmacked, and I think there's like Astro back there as well. It's just more space for people. I know that kind of walkway behind the goal at the Drumcondra end has been a massive problem. This sounds like a great start. There's got to be a bar in there. It probably won't have the license, because that is a logistical nightmare, getting a license to sell alcohol. But it will be hopefully open soon to serve alcohol. Like, Ben, these are huge kind of, when you think for so many years, the wasted kind of space within the ground. And like, it sounds sad, but I think a lot of people thought the ground was done for, so I don't think anyone gave it the love it probably deserved. But little things like this can make a massive difference, can't they?
Yeah, I think it's going to be big. Everything is big. Everything is kind of planning towards a bigger and brighter future. And I think that's massive, especially when you consider that sometimes the outlook was, do we have a future? And if so, what is it? Like, there's a lot of positive energy around the club. There's a lot of positive developments. Like, even simple things, infrastructurally, the actual structure of the ground as well, like getting actual steps up to the seats.
Yeah, who would have thought that'd be so important?
Who would have thought you needed steps to a seat? But little things like that that may seem small and insignificant are massive.
And like those little things all help with the attendance, because for the amount of people you have to have so many exits and access to emergency exits, and like it's all, they'll seem like little things, but like they're part of a bigger picture, and little things make the big things. I'd be a big kind of believer in that, but we just seem to be kind of evolving. The club seems to be evolving, and by that I mean a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Like I know it was mentioned about there's a new education and analysis centre up in the AUL. Like nobody knows about this stuff. Like this is stuff that's going on as it was put. Like the AUL is the most important thing for the players. Like they're only in the stadium once every 2 weeks. So their bread and butter is the AUL. The fact we've looked after it, like we've got leases for 4 pitches up there now, along with this educational analysis centre, and it looks amazing. For anyone that was at the fans forum, there was a picture put up of it. Like these are things that not every club has, and I think sometimes we're underselling ourselves a little bit with what we can offer to players and to supporters, but they're small. Like it might seem like a small thing, like an analysis centre, but like they should be bread and butter for clubs, but they're not, and they're all just steps in the right direction. Like there's little bits of housekeeping going on around Tolka. I know the seats was a big kind of issue with Europe, obviously, this year again, and it's the Champions League, so it gets turned up a notch. There's loads of work to be done. What I would say to you, if you can spare any time, reach out, because as you and I know, Ben, this club is built on volunteers, especially in the kind of last 10, 12 years. So if you can give a bit of time, definitely do. The other big thing, Ben, there still doesn't seem to be a solution to it, is the away ticketing. So I don't know, did you get these notes for the meeting, or are you totally in the dark here?
I'm going to say I'm totally in the dark, so you'll have to fill everyone in.
Beautiful. So the big kind of problem around the away ticketing especially was, well, what everyone seems to want is like a loyalty scheme. I know they have them in the UK where like every game you go to, you get so many points. And then when it comes to a Bowes away or a Derry away kind of situation where you won the league, that the amount of games you've attended like will pretty much guarantee a ticket. That's what everyone would want. Problem with that is clubs are all on different ticketing platforms. So I think the breakdown was 5 use Future Ticketing, 4 use Ticketco, and 1 uses Ticketmaster. So you can't implement a loyalty scheme there because they're all competitors. They're not going to deal with each other. So that's the stumbling block for a loyalty scheme. And I know people don't want to hear it, but that's out of the club's hands. Like, there's nothing the club can do about that. So I should say Neil Doyle, is he the interim CEO? Was that his proper title? Yeah. So Neil kind of was the main voice at the fans forum. And in fairness, he was extremely honest with all this stuff. And like anything the club could take ownership of, I think Neil did during the meeting. But that is out of the club's hands. But what he did specify was the other parts of the whole ticketing situation will be tidied up on. So the likes of like emails going out on time, people getting emails, people being able to query stuff, like that's all going to be looked after properly now, if you like. So like, it's all encouraging stuff, but like that for now, I think people, one of the ideas bandied around was like a loyalty season ticket or like a premium season ticket. So you pay a bit extra at the start of the year and it would nearly guarantee you access to those difficult to get to away games. I know Neil kind of mentioned about, you know, you don't want to gouge people. Like the club don't want to go looking for extra money off people. It's not kind of what they're looking to do. like after that, there's not a whole lot can be done on the away ticket, unfortunately. We were blessed that there was so much demand for away games last year, but for now, it could just be a case of holding tight and like that, trying to lobby the FAI to get on the same page, get one ticketing platform and, you know, kind of stick to it. And it means all the clubs then are on the same page. Very difficult to do. Like, you're trying to sit down with other clubs and stuff to go to the FAI, and can't be an easy thing to do, especially with particular clubs. But it all seems to be going in the right direction.
Very, very positive the last...
Do you know what?
End of last season. Like, people are going to think that we've been replaced with robots. They're like, we have some scripts because...
No, do you know what I worry about, Ben, is I worry that people think we're shilling.
Yeah.
And that we're just, you know, we're sitting here and we're told, you better say this is great, that is great, the other thing is great. I can tell you...
In reality... Like, we've gotten trouble for things that we're not supposed to say more times than we've actually been praised for things we do say.
Yeah, correct. And, like, that's... Look, I'm adamant, and I know you feel the same. The minute we start being watered down and being told what to say, that's when the...
Bring someone else in.
That's when the continuity 1895 podcast or something along those lines will start, because like, this loses its whole effect if we're not being honest. So, that's why it's important that I do point out that there was an awful lot of honesty at that fans forum, and I don't think that's always been the case.
But I think that's what we need as a club going forward, and as a club to grow and to go forward. You see, like, we've had it in the past where there has been transparency. People have fallen out, groups have fallen out, and it's not a good environment to be in. And there's some clubs around the league now that have that environment, and you can see how bad it is for them. So I think it's massively positive for us to have this. And look, there's a lot of people that deserve the praise for putting this basically in place.
Yeah, and look, speaking of being on the same page, I alluded earlier to a question that Rory Kirk was asked, and it was around the idea of younger players leaving to go elsewhere. Rory was asked, was it a concern? Like, are you worried that, you know, maybe young players are looking elsewhere? And I loved the answer. And people will probably be divided on this because everyone loves the idea, you know, of a young player coming through and playing for the club. And, like, it's a great way to show off the pathway the club has and all that stuff. I totally understand all that. But Rory's answer was basically, we're not going to guarantee anyone game time. Whether that's a young player, an experienced player, a loan player, anything. Like, nobody would be guaranteed minutes. And I think that's the perfect answer.
I think you have to respect that. You earn absolutely everything you get. And I think there's been a lot of noise around players leaving. Like, oh my God, how have we let this player go? And X, Y, Z. But at the end of the day, you look like... It's hard to keep someone around if they're just going to take an easier option. And here, maybe that's what was needed for a lot of them. It's just first-team football and a clear path. And maybe that's better elsewhere. But I think the environment that Owen and Rory have built and the leaders in the dressing room there, I think it's a really good environment, especially for young players to come into.
Yeah, but there's no point like in... beating around the bush with players and saying, yeah, we'll play it in this game and that game. Like, if a player, young or experienced, like, if you're not doing it, you shouldn't play. You know, just because you're a younger player or just because you might be a more experienced player and you think you're entitled to minutes, like, it's not how football works. Like, it's not a schoolboy, schoolgirl football team like this. Like, the women's end are looking to get that title back. So... you can't carry people. You can't have people there who don't want to be there. Like, you run the risk of disturbing the whole dressing room by keeping somebody that may or may not want to be there.
I think that's massive as well, though, because a lot of people have said, and there's a lot of noise around the caliber of player that did leave, and like, oh God, what are we going to do? But you can't have someone there, again, as you said, that's not going to give the 100%. And there is spots in that team available. Look, people have left, big players have gone, but it's just about stepping up, being ready for it, isn't it?
Yeah, and like, also the other thing is, as Rory mentioned, like, it's a smaller league, like, you don't play as many games, so they reckon that a tighter squad is better, and like, it's hard not to agree with that. Like, you're not as stretched for bodies as you would think, just because there's less teams in the league, and obviously there's the FAI Cup, but, and there'll be the Avenir Cup, but it's not as, like, it's a, how would I put it, it's like a longer season, you're not as crammed together as you might be in the men's game, where you do need that kind of rotation a little bit more, and obviously there's not that European football either. So I'm with them. I think closer knit squad, bodies who want to be there, like, that's all you want. That's a recipe for success, as far as I'm concerned. We did have the question box went out. It's, I enjoy this bit of it because I just love where some people's brains are at. Like, they're so, people are thinking so many different things. Like, the array of messages we get in there is incredible. Like, some people are asking about football things. Other people are asking about the toilets. Other people are asking about, like, tickets. It's just, I think it's a good way to let people have their say. One very important person, Ben, did have his say this week. He's a certain midfielder slash wing back slash despised up the road, but adored in Talca Park. He said, go back to my comment I sent on the 3rd of September last year and reuse it. Now, that comment, I'm not going to pull the exact one up, but he did tell us in September the best was still yet to come from the group. The best probably came, didn't it, Ben, in the end?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fair to say the best did come. And I think, I know it's a lot of noise, but I think we always knew it was coming. A lot of people lost faith, I suppose, but it's great to see that the lads didn't, and obviously it worked out in the end.
Well, I was going to say to you there, like, how important is it that players did believe that strongly? Do you know that there was no phase in the players?
No, there wasn't. I think it was absolutely massive. I remember we were down bodies. We just lost in Tala to Rovers. And it was Aidan O'Brien that came out. And
oh, I remember this, yeah.
He had the head down. He was shaking his head. And I thought he was disappointed. I thought he was angry. I was like, Harry, what story? He's like, you win three games, you win the league. I was like, what? Was like, we're just going to go out and win three games, and then we're going to win the league. I was like, okay.
I remember that because he had the young lad out on the pitch with him, didn't he?
Yeah, and he just kept saying, we're going to win three games and then we'll win the league.
And do you know what's funny? Because the manager mentioned it as well at the fans forum. Somebody said, or it was actually Darren, said about like the time when JJ got injured, like they just started to kind of, not, I don't think he used the word panic, but was there maybe a bit of doubt or something along those lines? And the manager wasn't happy, Ben, would you believe? Like, he basically said he knew we were going to win that league. And, like, some people look at that and they'll go, fucking arrogant, like, putting it like that. But
it's just a fine line between arrogance and confidence.
Yeah.
You just toes that line expertly. Like, it's, I think it was a, Brian Kerr came out and said that if you asked Sheldon at the start of the season, were they going to be league champions, they probably would have said no. And I took great offence to that duty because, you know,
oh, we were there.
I know, within that group, that was their goal from week one before the squad was even finished.
Oh, there was no, yeah, it was very definitive. It's like, no, that's what we're doing. That's what we're going for.
Like, I think we've mentioned before about the Mark Hoyle interview as club captain for the first time, and he pauses the recording and says, can I say that we're going for the league, or do I leave that out and wait to say that at a later date? And we just all looked around the room. We just kept shooting looks at each other, being like, what is this fella on?
Yeah. Yeah. That was literally the reaction we had. Yeah.
Like, going for the league. And then Darren was like, I think it was Darren said, best to leave that bit out.
always erring on the side of caution, huh?
Well, I just think before a ball has been kicked, you've just been named club captain and you're saying, yeah, we're going to win the league. People look at you like you've probably 10 heads.
Yeah, that now, that, I suppose, stubbornness the group had, that like, no, we will win it, like we're well capable. Do you buy into this thing now for this season that, is it different because last year we went under the radar, nobody kind of expected it. Do you think this year it'll be different, the games will be different because like teams aren't going to approach you like you're the underdog? You're going to be the favourite in every game now. Or will we be?
I don't know if we'll be the favourite in every game, but I don't think there'll be any kind of difference from our approach to games. I think we'll go into games the same way we do every week, and whatever the opposition do, that's probably up to them. I think we'll go at the league and every single game, Europe, the Cup, the same way we did every game last season. That's just with the confidence of what we can do and what we have done.
Yeah, an important bit of it, of course, is building the squad and making sure things don't go stale. Kerr McEnroy in the door, Ben. Kind of came out of blue, really. Of all the areas of the pitch, I thought maybe we were going to sign an extra body. That kind of midfield area wouldn't have been one I would have thought. That would lead me to think that maybe somebody else in there might be getting used in a different kind of way. But anyone I know that's been at the friendlies, I've been really, really impressed with them. Like we always had that kind of tight midfield unit, if you like, of Evan Caffrey, JJ and Coyler. They were kind of that the base in there. Are you looking at that like a signing of another midfielder as bring it on? Yeah, I'll no problem. Like I'm better than him. Or is there a risk of a little bit of, well, here, I'm the midfielder here. Like, you know, we always play midfield. This lad doesn't. Like, is that a good, do you think that's a good problem to have? Or are you running the risk of maybe a bit of unsettlement?
I don't think it'll unsettle the group in any way. I don't think it's a Daryl Strawberry Homer Simpson situation. Sorry, I knew that I'd get you. I don't think it's that kind of situation. I think competition is probably the best coach, I think is a saying I've heard or I've just made it up, but any competition is good. I think the group are too close together to let something as trivial or as stupid as that of like, oh, I'm the midfielder, what are you doing here, get in their way. So I don't think it'll be, I don't foresee it as being a major issue. I think the manager's really good with players and expectations, and when you're called on, be ready. And I think that's shown through every game last season.
Simple stuff, really, isn't it? Carnivale said Kate Mooney for a Golden Boot in 2025. I'm certainly not going to argue with that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much nailed on. Like,
I got a cut, and I'm a bit wary of kind of talking about betting here, but a lot of people are saying like 4-1, that's an amazing price for us. I'm still seeing the same stuff all the time of Pats, Derry, Rovers. Like, we're defending champions, and the group has only gotten better. Like, you haven't, I know we spoke about outgoing players last year. There's nobody we've lost that you'd go, oh, no. Whereas I think, like, Rovers have certainly had it, where they've lost some big, big bodies.
Yeah, but they signed that bloke that played against that game in Barcelona once.
See that stuff about all that nonsense was going around with that Brazilian goalkeeper with Pats.
He saved Salah's shot.
Saved a bleeding free kick in training. Like, fuck's sake. The minute we start putting that kind of stuff in statements or in press releases, no, don't.
Yeah, but he played Celtic Barcelona, dude. Come on, you have to pay respect. That is sarcasm, by the way, in case anyone couldn't tell.
It bothers me. It does bother me. But, like, I'm still seeing a lot of, probably can't call it disrespect, but
I think it is very disrespectful. Sorry, I know we're usually very positive and I'm not going scorched earth here, but, like, you're the defending champions and you have people saying there's three or four teams better than you before a ball has been kicked. You've only strengthened. Those other teams haven't even strengthened particularly well. Derry have a new manager. Like, there's so many variables, and yet we're the ones that aren't looked at as consistent in terms of they've kept their core group, they've strengthened, they have the best manager in the league, the best keeper in the league. Like, I just don't get it.
I personally think, again, we'll do our predictions next week, but I do think Rovers are going to be the biggest challenge. Just think that hunger now of, after winning the four in a row, all of a sudden it's gone. I think that'll light a fire under a lot of people. But, like, do I really give a shit that people are not including us as favourites? No. But at the same time, you're kind of going, just not learn your lesson last year with all this stuff.
Let them speak, let them do whatever they want.
Hopefully we're shoving it down everyone's throat come the end of the season.
We've proven wrong again.
Yeah, Conor Lackey said, I take top three, but I feel there's a title to be retained with the signings we've made, or a cup to be won.
That's a very strong point.
Yeah, I've said it a few times about taking the top three. No, I'm not doing that anymore. Like,
why limit yourself? Shoot for the stars.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I do just want to make sure we're playing European football in the 2026 season, but no, I think it lacks a bit of ambition, saying, I'll just get into the top three. No, go and win the thing. But I do want to win the cup desperately. I desperately want to win the cup.
You just want your big day out and get your big lovely suit on.
I do. for the afters, of course. But no, I want a cup win. Don't know what it is, just something's burning in me to win a cup. And I think this year could be the year. Adam Fahey said, it's not a question, but more of a thought. But I thought we needed another centre-back, but after seeing Temple and Roach, I think we're okay. I mentioned Lewis Temple already, but then these kind of young players coming through, like, how important are they going to be? I know Collie Barron spoke really well at the fans forum about academy and having a pathway. Like, the likes of a Lewis Temple, he's effectively a new signing for us. And, like, is it important that the likes of a Lewis Temple does get those opportunities, because it then leads you to being able to sign other academy players and saying, well, look, this is what we can offer?
Yeah, I think it's important to just kind of show that clear pathway is there. Look, obviously, Lewis went out, got his experience, come back, and it is kind of like a new signing when you get that body back with more minutes in his legs, a bit more experience in a senior men's game. I think it'll be really big. As you say, Collie speaks so highly of the academy. I spoke to Lorcan Fitz, and the way he plans set up that 20s, he plans for there to be a clear pathway. And in his mind, it's very much you do your business here, you train, you eat, you sleep professional football here, and then there's a pathway there to the first team. So I think that would be massive as well.
And sorry, that Roach I'm talking about, that's James Roach. As far as I know, we only signed him from, I think it was Rovers. So another one, like, this, there's always these players just kind of ticking over in the background, and obviously Dan Ring would be another name that people would be fairly familiar with. So it's not always just the big signing that gets announced in the off-season. Like, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and players into training and all that kind of stuff. So just be wary of that. Just while it's actually in my head, what have you made of this outrage around Dara Burns signing for Grimsby instead of re-signing for Rovers?
I'd take more offence to the agent statement than I would him actually signing for Grimsby.
What was he at? It's a mad situation, but I'm sorry, if your man and your agent are coming out on Twitter and talking about you not wanting to play in a certain position, that's wild.
Yeah, that's just a bit mental. We signed for this club so you can play right wing. What? What?
Well, like, at the same time, I completely understand why players go to England. I completely get it. You are way more in the shop window. Whether people like that or not, that's another question. I don't think that'll be the case in another couple of years. But for now, I do think you are more in the shop window over there. He's obviously been over there already. So, like, it's back to the whole thing. Like, if players want to leave them at it. Like, I don't hold those grudges against players that leave Shells. No. Unless, there's been a couple of people haven't handled themselves in the best way, haven't probably shown respect to the club. That's a different thing, but...
Yeah, like the Bowles new academy fella.
Oh?
Did you not see Bowles announcing a new signing for their academy, I think it was?
No, because I have them blocked and muted on everything.
Well, Bowles, I think we're delighted to announce the appointment of Gary Deegan as the academy development coach.
Oh, Jesus, I've just seen it now. Holy mother of God.
Talk about players disgracing.
Oh, they're all going to have beards. Oh, that's wild. No, I literally, as you said that, I picked it up to Google it, and there you go. Yeah. Mental.
Well, to be honest, like, I get why, look, as you said, you're in the shop window, people see more of you. But I also think there's a pathway to do it the right way here. Like, look at how Jack did with us.
He's probably the perfect kind of example of, like, Jack came here after being not wanted by Bowles, basically, and he'll tell you that himself, with a bit of love and a bit of anger at the same time. Look at him now, like, he's doing really, really well over there. So, this is why, like, I can't imagine being bitter at Jack.
Oh, God.
I can imagine having, like,
never. He gave everything, like, during his time here, and he's one of those that you actually do wish him the best, and Lincoln is something that you'd be checking every week, and you'd be looking at the highlights, and you actually want to see him do well. Well, for me, anyway.
Yeah, I'm the same, man. Like, same as any other young lad. Like, if you want to go off, be my guest. Once you're given everything while you're here, I don't really give a shite what you do when you go on or who you go on to play for. Jordan O'Reilly, the voice of reason, was on, saying it's good to be back. Just on the pre-season, Boyd and Wood look absolutely lethal in pre-season. That's an interesting one, because I know, although Harry scored that, like, he wrote himself into the history books with the goal in Derry, I think a lot of people felt he didn't set the world alight the way people thought he was going to.
I thought
when he came back.
I think people expected an awful lot, but, like, he was also very unlucky. I've never seen someone hit the crossbar as many times as that fella did, but he's also, like, as harsh as a critic, like, on himself. He is harsh on himself. He does want to push himself to do well. So it doesn't really surprise me that he's come out with that kind of fire, and he's raring to go, like.
Yeah, with Boydie there, I said this at the time, at last year, that a Sean Boyd playing every week up front is going to net you 15 to 20, I reckon, at least.
Oh, easily.
And you throw Meepo now into the mix, like, that's impressive. That's an impressive, and there's more options beyond that, but those two in particular are up there. If they're firing, I mean, good luck. Good night and God bless, because I don't think anyone's going to touch you with those two up there. Actually, something I meant to mention earlier, I was put right about when I spoke about players leaving the women's team last week. I mentioned Megan Smith-Lynch. She will be back. It's like a temporary kind of thing she's gone over there for. She is due back here. So my apologies, I wasn't aware of that. I just saying that, like, she popped up in a Como jersey, so I put two and two together that she had left. But she will be back. I have a very good authority, so that's certainly a boost. The women's team will get a full preview. They're obviously a couple of weeks behind in terms of their start date, so we will run through their signings, re-signings, departures in a little bit more detail as the start of that season gets closer. But Ben, I think we've kind of we've given the people what they want. The people want to listen to us, by all accounts, and we've given them a good 40-odd minutes here. Don't think we can do much more for people, can we? We do our best.
We do try. I would actually like to get your opinion on one more thing before you do leave.
Oh, you're going to try and annoy me here, but go on.
I'm not. I'm going just about Mark Coyle, and when he spoke to us last season, he didn't want to outright say they're going for the league. What do you make of Keith Buckley coming out saying Bowles are going for Europe?
Again, I haven't seen any of this because I...
I think it was yesterday, it was put up, it was a quote anyway, I think it was on the League of Ireland Twitter, that Bowles are going to push us, Rovers, Pats and Derry. He said he wants to achieve Europe this season, and that's the minimum.
I think that's a very, very, very bold statement.
Personal achievement is achieving Europe, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, again, ambitious or overconfident because they haven't really recruited particularly well.
No. Ultimately, that's one of those ones. Time will tell. But my biggest issue there is if they don't get off to a good start, like, forget about it. Like, Rennie was under enough pressure last year. So, as you say, I think they've signed a couple of good players, but I don't think there's been enough. They haven't signed enough. And like that, you get off to a bad start. Things can turn very, very, very quickly. Like, they ended the season quite miserably. And look, while we're carrying all our positivity over, that negativity carries over just as much. So, a very bold statement from Shelburne fan Keith Buckley there.
I knew you were going to get that in. That's why I had to get it in.
That photo is knocking around somewhere. It's going to have to come out at some stage.
Yeah, I think so. Duty, before we do leave again, I'm going to jump in. You'd have to tell the people, I think, one of their main issues, and you have to address it. When do the Richie Rankins return?
Look, I like to put a bit of effort into where my anger's aimed.
So you're going to wait for the first game of the
season? No, well, see, last week, I wasn't back in full pod mode yet. I wasn't match fit, if you like. So I couldn't...
You were getting the minutes under the belt, literally.
Yeah, I couldn't put my full anger into anything. Gave a good bash with Virgin Media deal, I think. But next week we'll have a more kind of... Next week we're basically going to preview the league, we'll give a few predictions. We'll obviously be able to preview the Drogheda game, the President's Cup. So... we'll be a bit more structured next week. But Ben, if you have a Richie Baker or a Richie Winter you want to throw out there, be my guest.
I don't. I'm not like Darren. I didn't come prepared to be that angry this week. But I just thought I'd get that in so the people know when they can expect your angry outburst in the last 10 minutes of the pod, a la Stephen Kenny.
Well, look. I'm in much better form this week. Much, much better form.
You must have been fed.
Yeah, I still don't give a shit about any other club. And I despise that. It's great for the league, Brigade. If it's great for Shelburne, I want to know about it. And I know sometimes the residual of something like the Virgin deal is great for Shells, which I'm sure it is. So, look, there it is. I nearly forgot. good friend of the pod, good Reds man, Dan was on to me during the week to say that his young lad was upstairs supposed to be doing his homework, and he came down to tell his dad that the pod had been great that particular week. So the lesson is, if you're sending your child upstairs to do their homework, maybe make sure they're not listening to us. but on the other side, fair play to you, Jamie. You keep listening. Give us a like. Give us a follow on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get any of your podcasts. Keep on listening. And if it means anything to you, your dad wasn't overly annoyed at you for listening to the 1895 podcast. So
he could be listening to us.
He could be. He could be listening to better, mind you. But he could definitely be listening to us. Ben, anything else to add?
No, I think that's pretty much us for this week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. Thanks very much for giving up your evening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Do give us a like. Do give us a little follow. Rate us 5 stars wherever you can, because it is much, much appreciated. Ben, I'll see you during the week.
I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.